everyone. Welcome back to all my listeners. This is episode 9 in season 11. Today is Wednesday, February 28th, 2024. My name is Sonal Patel, and this is the Paint the Medical Picture podcast series. Now, all right, you guys, it's the very last Wednesday of the month, so you know it's my newsworthy fraud, waste, and abuse highlights for the month of February. And of course, I'm going to be spotlighting some of those from the month's criminal and civil enforcement cases that I find newsworthy. And in my trusty tip, I wanted to go over where you can find documentation checklists. And of course, I'm going to go ahead and close out, round out today's episode with a remarkable quote on quality and quantity by Mahatma Gandhi. Let's get into it. So let's get into newsworthy. The month's fraud, waste, and abuse cases. The month of February saw 35 cases as of the recording of this episode. Early February saw a case involving a California hospital agreeing to pay more than $2 million after self-reporting overbilling of Medi-Cal for prescription medications. Now, this California hospital has agreed to pay nearly $2.1 million to resolve allegations that it overbilled Medi-Cal for prescription medication purchased and reimbursed under a federal drug pricing program. The finalized settlement agreement is the result of voluntary disclosures the hospital made in 2021 and 2023. After an internal audit, the hospital determined that it overbilled the United States and California, which jointly fund Medi-Cal, which is a government-funded program that provides health coverage for low-income individuals in the state of California. According to the settlement agreement from December 2016 through September 2021, the hospital improperly charged higher or usual and customary costs rather than lower or actual acquisition costs as required under the 340B drug pricing program, which requires drug manufacturers to provide outpatient medication to eligible healthcare organizations at significantly reduced prices. The overbilling allegedly resulted from the hospital billing for its usual costs following a federal court's temporary stay of the implementation of the California law requiring 340B providers to bill Medi-Cal at actual acquisition cost rates. But once the court lifted the temporary ban, the hospital failed to implement actual acquisition cost pricing. Therefore, it ultimately overbilled the United States and California approximately $1.4 million. The hospital has agreed to pay the United States $873,730 and the state of California over $1.2 million to resolve the allegations, bringing the total settlement amount to nearly $2.1 million. After making its voluntary disclosure, the hospital cooperated with the investigation by federal and state authorities. The settled claims here are allegations only, and the hospital has not admitted any wrongdoing. Early February also saw a case involving a $1.6 million settlement with ambulance companies and their owner to resolve false billing allegations. Now, the AG's office contends that since at least January 2015, two ambulance companies regularly falsified and upcoded their claims to MassHealth by purposefully miscoding their rendered services to file more expensive claims. For example, the companies billed for emergency services when only non-emergency services were provided and billed for advanced ambulance services when only basic ambulance services were in fact provided. The Attorney General's office further alleges that both companies billed MassHealth for medically unnecessary services, instructing employees to falsify service documentation to support upcoded claims to MassHealth, and to have routinely failed to comply with MassHealth's requirements regarding medical necessity forms for non-emergency transportation services. In addition, one ambulance company is alleged to have billed Medicare for medically unnecessary services and to have failed to comply with federal requirements regarding medical necessity documentation for non-emergency transportation services. Under the terms of this particular settlement, in addition to paying back $1.6 million to MassHealth and to Medicare, the two ambulance companies have agreed to retain an independent compliance monitor and to implement company-wide training and auditing to ensure future compliance with all state and federal laws and regulations. Mid-February saw a case involving a mental health services LLC's program administrator sentenced to 5 years in federal prison for a health care fraud scheme. This man was sentenced to 5 years in federal prison, followed by 3 years of supervised release for conspiracy to commit health care fraud and wire fraud, and for conspiracy to make false statements relating to health care matters in connection with the scheme to fraudulently bill Medicaid. His conviction stems from a scheme involving services purportedly provided by a mental health services company with locations in Washington, D.C. The judge also ordered him to pay restitution in the full amount of the loss of over $4.4 million. The sentence was imposed on February 8, 2024. According to the evidence presented during the 6-day trial, this man was a program administrator at the mental health organization. It entered into the Medicaid provider agreements with the District of Columbia's Department of Health Care Finance, the DHCF, to provide health care services to the DC Medicaid recipients and was certified by the District of Columbia's Department of Behavioral Health, or DBH, to provide mental health services as a freestanding clinic and as a mental health and rehabilitation services provider, or MHRS. Now, as a certified MHRS provider, it had the authority to provide and bill for a variety of mental health services, including community support, which is a service for which community support workers, or CSWs, provide rehabilitative and educational support to mental health patients, both in the clinical settings and in the community. And according to evidence presented at trial, this man and his co-conspirators paid Medicaid patients to induce them to visit the Organization for Mental Health Services. As detailed in the trial testimony, this man and his co-conspirators caused claims to be submitted by the company to Medicaid for services, including community support services purportedly provided to Medicaid patients. As detailed again in the trial testimony, this man and his co-conspirators paid individuals to come into the office and then used their personally identifiable information, or PII, to bill Medicaid for services that were not rendered or were not rendered as billed. The evidence proved that this man made up fake company employees who were purportedly community support workers, those CSWs, so that he could bill Medicaid for services provided by these fake employees. Witnesses testified that during this investigation, sources posing as mental health patients were sent to the organization to obtain community support services. Not only did the sources not receive the services as billed, but the organization billed for CSW services for those patients for visits that never happened. The jury acquitted the man of conspiring to violate the anti-kickback statute. The owners of the organization, both from the state of Maryland, previously pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit healthcare fraud in connection with a scheme to pay bribes and kickbacks to Medicaid patients to induce those patients to visit their company. One of these men was sentenced to 20 months in federal prison and was ordered to pay a restitution of over $3 million. The other man is scheduled to be sentenced on April 9th, 2024. Now, late February also saw a doctor paying nearly $700,000 to resolve False Claims Act allegations. Now, this particular physician and his medical practice have agreed to pay almost $700,000 plus interest to resolve allegations that they violated the False Claims Act by upcoding physician services, billing for more services than they could possibly provide in one day, and billing for services that the physician never provided. This physician is the former medical director at the New Jersey Veterans Memorial Home. The settlement resolves three sets of allegations from January 1st, 2017 to June 1st, 2022. Now, the first allegation is for the defendants regularly upcoded certain CPT codes typically used to report more complex services or services longer in duration relating to the evaluation and management of patients. Upcoding is alleged fraudulent medical billing in which a claim is submitted for payment regarding a service that is more expensive than the service that was performed. Now, the second allegation is that the defendants knowingly submitted claims to Medicare for services that he did not provide to patients by regularly billing for impossible days. An impossible day occurs when a physician purports to provide such a high volume of services or procedures in one day that there is no way the physician reasonably could have performed them all. For example, on March 2, 2018, the time associated with CPT codes billed by these defendants for services that he provided exceeded 43 hours. And finally, the third allegation includes that he allegedly purported to provide services to Medicaid patients in New Jersey on days when he himself was not physically in the United States. Now, the claims resolved by this particular settlement are allegations only, and there has been no determination of liability. Now, of course, there were many, many of the other usual suspects that I discuss on my fraud, waste, and abuse at the end of each and every month. And these usual suspects include nursing abuses, DME and genetic testing fraud schemes, opioids cases, and even more and more kickbacks and bribery schemes. But I wanted to pay particular attention to a case involving a medical billing company owner. Now, let's be mindful that the number of medical billing companies and their owners involved in fraud, waste, and abuse cases has been rising. Now, this case had a man sentenced for over $600 million in healthcare fraud, wire fraud, and identity theft schemes. Now, this New York man was sentenced to 12 years in prison and ordered to pay over $336 million in restitution for a years-long fraud scheme in which he and his co-conspirators, including physicians throughout the country, defrauded multiple health insurance companies out of hundreds of millions of dollars. According to court documents and evidence presented at trial, this man operated medical billing companies to provide billing services for physicians, primarily plastic or orthopedic surgeons throughout the United States, and used his companies to carry out a massive scheme to defraud insurance companies. Now, as a third-party medical biller, he submitted claims to insurance companies and, when necessary, requested reconsiderations or appeals of denied claims, typically earning a percentage of the amount paid by those insurance companies. Now, the evidence showed that he billed for procedures that were either more serious or entirely different than those his doctor clients performed. In addition, he made thousands of calls in which he impersonated patients and patients' relatives to induce insurance companies to reconsider denied claims or pay more on approved claims, resulting in tens of millions of dollars in additional reimbursement to his doctor clients, and from which he received a percentage of the fraudulent proceeds. He also directed his doctor clients to schedule elective surgeries through the emergency room so that insurance companies would reimburse at substantially higher rates. When insurance companies denied the inflated claims, this man impersonated patients to demand that the insurance companies pay the outstanding balances of tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars. A federal jury convicted him on July 13, 2022, of healthcare fraud, conspiracy to commit healthcare fraud, wire fraud, and aggravated identity theft. And now it's time for my best practice tips and trusty tip. Did you know there are documentation checklists available on many Mac web pages? Now, Novitas, in my opinion, has a great one that includes 19 really helpful ones if you happen to be a provider with these service lines or a certified coder coding for these types of encounters. There is a documentation checklist for psychiatric services that include psychotherapy. There's also one for laboratory services and rehabilitation services for your outpatient physical and occupational therapy types of services. There's also one for drugs and biologicals for your drug injections. There's also a documentation checklist for your cardiac rehabilitation services. And there's another one for your paravertebral facet joint injections. There's also a documentation checklist for your surgical services, including your nail debridements of paring or cutting of hyperkeratotic lesions. There's also another documentation checklist for your surgical services that include cataract extractions. There's also one for your pulmonary rehabilitation types of services. There's also one for end-stage renal disease services, those ESRD types of services. There's also a documentation checklist for your initial preventive physical examinations and your annual wellness visits. There's also a documentation checklist for another type of surgical service for your Mohs micrographic surgeries. There's also one for your ambulance services, for your emergent ambulance transports. There's also another checklist for your anesthesia types of services, including your anesthesia for diagnostic or therapeutic injections. There's also another documentation checklist for your trigger point injections, and one for your epidural steroid injections, and yet another for your benign skin lesion removals. There's also one for acupuncture. And finally, there's even one for your evaluation and management types of services. So maintaining compliance is much more attainable if you know where to look. So in my opinion, you should start looking at your MAC web pages and bookmark them to help you ensure your documentation paints the medical picture. And finally, I focus Season 11 Spark on quality and quantity. I want this 11th season Spark to be filled with our world's thought leaders, writers, artists, philosophers, everyone who inspires the need for better understanding of quality versus quantity. So, in this week's inspiring quote in Spark is from Mahatma Gandhi. It is the quality of our work which will please God and not the quantity. So very true, right? I think this quote reminds us that on a deeper level, the quality of our work was important then. And just as true on that deeper level, it's the quality of our work that's important now. The modern and contemporary times suggest quantity is valued and applauded through monetary gains. Algorithms reward the masses of followers and likes. The dopamine hits we all take with the volume of love we receive. But none of that actually means anything unless we believe in the quality of the work we do. I'm happy Mahatma Gandhi's spark still burns brightly in all of us today. So that wraps up today's episode. And as always, I appreciate you all diving into today with me. If you want more information from me, please go ahead and follow me on LinkedIn. I'll leave links to everything in the show notes below. Now remember, you guys, please go ahead and catch my LinkedIn Live broadcast this Friday with my good friend Betty Hovey from CHCS Consulting for our very first episode in the month of March for our show Compliance Capers. The full video versions can also be found on my YouTube channel for Paint the Medical Picture. I wish you guys all an amazing and very, very happy week ahead. Thank you guys so much for listening on today's episode, and I hope every week with me brings you closer to helping your providers paint a masterpiece. See you next Wednesday.